You know that the Word of God said you would be living in a time where the leaders of government would have minds like wild animals. One of the most ancient prophecies having to do with the times of the Gentiles was depicted both in the second and later in the fourth and seventh chapters of the book of Daniel, where ancient old King Nebuchadnezzar, now he wasn't old, he was probably only about 17 when he took power, but way back during the time of Daniel in the Babylonian Empire, when Daniel became right at the right hand of Nebuchadnezzar, one of God's prophets was given the ability to interpret and to explain to this king the meaning of a dream that troubled him. Ancient King Nebuchadnezzar had seen a giant stump and had seen a band in it. He'd also seen another mysterious dream of a hand that cut a great rock out as if without any help of any kind, right out of the side of a mountain, but there was a hand with no arm attached to it. And he saw that rock smiting a great image standing out there in the plain. Well, Daniel had to explain the meaning of that great image that was smashed to dust, and how the rock that lay there where the pile of dust was, once the image was gone, seemed to shudder, to glow, and to grow, and to become itself a great mountain, and to fill the whole earth. Well, biblical eschatologists know that Nebuchadnezzar stood for the kingdom, that he was the king of all of those other kings, a kind of a super king of his day, that the Babylonian Empire, the Babylonian kingdom, was a great kingdom and became symbolic for a modern end time Babylon the Great, meaning confusion the great, really, meaning disorganization and chaos the great, really, but also a mystery religion that came along with it. And the second chapter of Daniel, where the great prophet Daniel begins to interpret the meaning of that image to Nebuchadnezzar, reveals a successive stage of Gentile governments and kingdoms holding sway over major areas of the earth whose minds would be so perverted and so twisted that the Bible calls them minds of wild animals. Hence, the period called the times of the Gentiles began. Some think it began at the very moment of the fall of ancient Babylon, when Belshazzar was having his idolatrous feast and when the Medes and Persians came in and took over. And it talked about passing over seven times from that king. Seven times shall pass over him, verse 16 of the fourth chapter of Daniel's prophecy. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Now that happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He ranted and raved and grunted. He screeched and screamed. His fingernails grew long. The hairs of his body grew long, and his hair grew hanging down all ragged and dirty. And he caroused around in the backyard of that temple for seven solid years, while Daniel himself saw, as a sage, as a wise counselor, right at the helm of government, four separate dynasties come and go. Not dynasties, but additional kings, including the final one, when Nebuchadnezzar finally was given his sanity back. Seven literal years passed over Nebuchadnezzar, and the prophecy explains that those 7 years were symbolic of seven times, which were to pass over 2,520 years by biblical prophetic definition, were to pass over the minds of Gentile world rulers, called the times of the Gentiles. Now, you know, you wrap that prophecy up when you come in the New Testament to Matthew 24 and Luke 21, and you see the prophecies of Jesus Christ having to do with the nearness of his second coming and with the key that is Christian's great sign to know that it's near. And that key is, quote, the abomination of desolation standing where it ought not in the holy place, and also Jerusalem surrounded with armies. But it says in that prophecy in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, for Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. We're still living in what the Bible calls the times of the Gentiles. You know, you can never understand, at least I don't think you can, without understanding these prophecies, you can never understand how the mind of a man like Hitler worked. How in the world could a man like Adolf Hitler do what he did? Resulted in somewhere around 30 million human beings losing their lives. An absolute global war, unprecedented in the history of mankind. World War II started by one demoniacal, fanatic idiot who thought himself a kind of a super leader, an almost Christ-like figure, who was looking toward the salvation of his people. He was going to save his people and set himself up on a 1,000-year throne. Not that the man thought he would live that long, at least I don't think he did, but he talked about a 1,000-year Reich. and he was going to produce a super race. Give the world the wonderful German culture. Wagnerian opera and German-made beer. A Volkswagen in every garage. And this wild little corporal from Austria, whose father changed his name because his father was apparently illegitimate, and who had a deep mother fixation, had a terrible problem in his own mind and body. People claim that he didn't have a normal relationship with Eva von Braun, but had a completely different dependency, almost like a child creeping into the arms of his mother for aid and comfort. But this man, Adolf Hitler, plunged the world into gigantic world war, began the pogroms, saw to it that approximately 6 million Jewish people were systematically bludgeoned, cudgeled, stabbed, burnt, electrocuted, hung, shot, or burnt, many of them alive, starved to death, and in other ways subjected to the most horrible brutalities the human mind can imagine. How do you understand a mind like that? The ranting, raging mind of the Führer, who in the last moments in his bunker was ordering non-existent armies into non-existent fronts. And people were so afraid of him, he was just like Nebuchadnezzar in the garden, screaming like a beast. We're living still in the times of the Gentiles. And the whole problem is that of government. Few people know that the gospel of Jesus Christ was a message about coming world-ruling government with Jesus Christ as the Savior and the coming King.